Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Actually, we're going to go right back to where Greg was this morning. Luke chapter 2. We're going to read a very familiar story. I'm going to read a story about some shepherds. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8. And I hear the pages turning. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Wonderful. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. God's Word says this about the shepherds and the angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, what a wonderful story we read here. And Father, this morning, you have me in front of this crowd to bring the message of what you want me to speak, what we all need to hear. Father, I stand amazed at what you have done in our lives. Father, may this message be what we need to hear. May I say what you want me to say. May hearts be changed, may lives be changed, and transformed in some way here this morning, Lord, because of a birth of a Savior. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Welcome to Christmas of 2010. Do these sayings sound familiar to you? We want to put Christ back into Christmas. How about this one? We get upset when nativity scenes are banished from the public squares. We insist on calling it the Christmas season and not the holiday season. We say as Christians that we do know the true meaning of Christmas. And we say all of these things with sincerity. We do. We're sincere when we say these things, and we do mean these things. But let's be real. We all get caught up to some degree in the secular hustle and bustle of the shopping, the gifts, the lights, the dinners, the family get-togethers, the Christmas cards, the Christmas trees, the tinsel, and the decorations. And let's not forget the emotional highs and lows that come along with this season. And because we all do, I just want to propose this. For the next about 25 minutes, let's all just put all that secular stuff out of our minds, out of our heads, out of our ways, just for 25 minutes. Can we do that? Can we do that and focus on what we really and sincerely want to focus on? And that's the birth of our Savior. So for the next 25 minutes, forget about cards, forget about trees, forget about presents, forget about gifts, forget about your journeys, forget about your celebrations, and let's focus on one thing, the birth of a Savior. And today we want to set our minds on the story of the shepherds, one of the many familiar stories out of the Christmas scriptures, out of the Gospels. What started out as a rather uneventful night for these people ended up to be the greatest night of their lives. Have you had the greatest night or the greatest time or the greatest event of your life yet? For these shepherds, it all centered on the message. The message. That night, they heard a message. So let's talk about that message. In our bulletins, we have four fill-in-the-blanks, and we'll go through them here. And the first one is this. The message is proclaimed. If you want to fill that in your bulletin, the message is proclaimed, or the message is shared, or the message is preached, whatever word you want to put down, I have the word proclaimed. That night, these shepherds, they heard a message. It was a really great message. It was a message of hope. It was a message of promise. These shepherds were the very first ones to hear this message about the birth of a Savior, a Redeemer, the Christ. But why shepherds? Did you know that the shepherds were considered to be pretty much the lowest of the low at that time? But they heard a message. And you and I, we heard a message too, didn't we? We heard a message of hope. We also heard a message of promise, of promise. Yeah, sure, it might not have been proclaimed by angels in the heavenly realms, but maybe it was proclaimed to you by your mom. Or maybe it was taught to you by a Sunday school teacher. Or maybe you heard it from a pastor. Or maybe you heard the message just from a friend. Did you ever wonder why you heard the message? Why you? And why me? Why did we get this wonderful opportunity to hear the message? I'm sure the shepherds may have been asking themselves the same question. Why did we get to hear the message? And we need to ask ourselves this. Who are you and who am I that we get to hear such a wonderful message? Luke chapter 4, verse 18 tells us that the message is proclaimed to the poor, to the prisoners, to the blind, and to the oppressed. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28 tells us that the message is proclaimed to the foolish and to the weak and to the lowly. These sound like adjectives that describe shepherds. Poor, prisoners, blind, oppressed, foolish, weak, and lowly. So my question to all of us here this morning is this. Are we willing to identify ourselves with the shepherds by calling ourselves poor and prisoners and blind and oppressed. The message is proclaimed. Our second fill in the blank. The message is believed and affirmed. The message is believed and affirmed. The message believed what they heard from the angels, but they still needed to check this thing out. Let's go to Bethlehem, one said to one another. They needed to have an affirmation from this angelic proclamation that they heard. They needed to have an encounter with Jesus. They needed an encounter with Jesus. In John chapter 20, verse 25, a disciple by the name of Thomas, he kind of doubted and he wasn't sure that Jesus had risen from the dead. But later on, Jesus appears to him. And he says, in so many words, "Here I am, Thomas. Just check me out. Just check me out." You see, Thomas needed an encounter with Jesus. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, there's a group of people from the town of Berea, and they were not sure that what Paul was preaching was true. So it says in verse 11 that they searched the scriptures because they needed to check out to see if what Paul was telling them was true. The Bereans needed an encounter with the Word of God. So I ask all of us this morning, how about your belief and your faith in the message that you heard? Is it solid? Is it built on the rock? Have you had that message affirmed in your life? Have you taken your walk to Bethlehem to really check this thing out? Have you had your encounter with Jesus Christ? Have you given Him the chance to prove that He is who He says He is? I guarantee when you do, He will. The message is proclaimed, the message is believed, and it's affirmed. Our third fill in the blank. The message is not to be feared. The message is not to be feared. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, an angel appears to Joseph and tells him not to be afraid. In Luke chapter 1, verse 13, an angel appears to Zechariah and tells him not to be afraid. In Luke chapter 1, verse 30, an angel appears to Mary and tells her, "Do not be afraid." And in today's scripture, an angel appears to the shepherds and tells them not to be afraid. You see, all these people that are told not to be afraid, they have an assignment. They have a ministry from God which He divinely orchestrates according to His purpose and His plan. And in each one of these cases, He tells them, do not be afraid. In John chapter 21, verse 22, Peter, the apostle Peter, he's concerned about John. And he's concerned if John will live to the second coming. And Jesus replies by saying this, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you, Peter? You must follow me." So we have heard the message. And we have believed and we have affirmed the message. And now it is time to follow Jesus. And I ask this, are you afraid? Are you afraid? Do you fear? We're following Jesus, where He might lead you, where He might take you, under what circumstances He might put you in, or what He may turn you into. You know, when Jesus gets a hold of you, you won't be the same person that you were before you met Him. And are you willing for that change? Are you ready for that change? And as the angel said on these four occasions, do not fear. Are you fearful to go on the journey that God wants you to go on for Him? Trust me, when you decide to follow Jesus, you are on a journey like no other journey before. Do not be afraid. The message is proclaimed. The message is believed and affirmed. And the message is not to be feared. And our fourth and final fill in the blank, the author of the message is to be praised or glorified, or you could use both words. The author of the message is to be glorified and praised. In verse 14, we hear the angel saying this, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. And in verse 20 of chapter 2 in Luke, says this, the shepherds return glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. For it was just like as they had been told. They gave glory to God. Do we give glory to God? In John chapter 9, verse 3, Jesus says that God's glory is about to be revealed because there's a man who was born blind that's about to be healed from that. In John chapter 11, verse 4, Jesus says that God's glory is about to be revealed in the raising of Lazarus from the grave. In John chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus says that we bear much fruit for the glory of God. In Romans chapter 9, verse 23, we are told that we are sovereignly elected, so the riches of God's glory will be made known. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, we are told that we are chosen and predestined according to God's plan in order that the results are for the praise of God's glory. Do we give God the glory? God could have killed Adam for his sin, but He didn't. God could have killed Noah and his family in the flood, along with the rest of humanity, but He didn't. God could have allowed the widow at Zarephath to starve to death, but He didn't. God could have let Paul die the death of a murderer, but He didn't. God did not have to send a Savior to redeem and save people like you and I, but He did. Are you looking for the perfect Christmas gift for 2010? How about a Savior who will save you and me from an eternity of torment and give you and I, at no cost, the gift of eternal life? How's that for a gift? It certainly beats anything you will ever find packaged and wrapped under a Christmas tree, this year, or next year, or the next year, or the next year. if we want to be sincere about keeping Christ in Christmas this year, let's try giving God the Father the praise and glory for sending and sacrificing His Son for people like us. We need to give glory to God in the highest. Now that's Christmas. I want to put this challenge out to all of us this year. What would we be like? What would our church be like? What would our community be like? What would our world be like if we spent as much time giving God the glory and the praise for our Savior, which is the greatest imaginable gift that we could ever conceive? Giving as much time to glorifying God as we do worrying about the tree and the lights and the gifts and the cards and the presents and the decorations. The message is proclaimed. The message is believed and affirmed. The message is not to be feared, and the author of the message is to be praised. Verse 17 says this: when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed. That can be taken one of two ways. It might be what the shepherds told Mary and Joseph at the manger scene, or it could be told about what they did when they left. When they left. You see, they heard a very wonderful and amazing message. And it doesn't come as any surprise to me that the message was so amazing that they had to tell somebody else. You see, those who hear the message that's proclaimed, and those who believe in the message and affirm that message, and those who do not fear that message, and those who give God the praise for that message, we need to be the ones who go on out and start that cycle all over again. I hope we're not waiting for angels to appear to our friends and to our family and speak to them personally about what you and I already know, what you and I already have, that gift of eternal life that we have been so freely given. As the shepherds started the cycle all over again, it is up to us to go and proclaim the message, so those who hear it also have the opportunity to believe it and affirm it, and not to fear it, and to give God the praise for it. Do we speak this wonderful message that we have heard with boldness and authority? Or maybe I should back up and ask this: do we speak that message at all? We need to proclaim the message that we heard the same way the angels did. We not only need to speak it, we need to shout it. People need to hear what we know. We need to tell them about the birth of a Savior. We need to tell them about the death of our Savior. We need to tell them about the resurrection of our Savior. And throughout it all, we need to say this: glory to God in the highest, because He has given us a gift of eternal life, the greatest message that is ever proclaimed. It started with angels to shepherds, and it continues with us. Will you proclaim the greatest message ever heard? Let's go to God in prayer.